So we meet again, and I offer my hand all dry and English slow. And you look at me, and I understand, yeah, it's a look I used to know.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to our regular show. We are talking about gloom, or making your family miserable.
Yeah, making your family miserable. That's why I'm wearing all black.
Oh, you are wearing all black. Yeah. Nice. Uh-huh. Nice.
Making your family miserable is a thing that you can do while you're wearing all black.
Yeah, well, it matches the art style.
Yeah.
So Gloom is a card game for 2 to 5 players.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Baker is the one that designed it. He's designed a lot of stuff. I want to say that he designed Eberron.
Oh, okay.
Like that campaign setting.
Yeah. But this is probably his most popular game.
Yeah, but this is probably his more popular game. Mm-hmm. Came out in 2004, won the Origins Award in 2005 for Best Traditional Card Game, which I had no idea until I looked that up.
Yeah.
So there's the base game. There's also 4 expansion packs.
Yeah.
There's a 2011 version called Cthulhu Gloom, which you can use it either as an expansion pack or a standalone. I'm not sure how that works exactly.
Guessing it's like in the veins of Munchkin, where you have like themes that could add flair.
Well, yeah, and I mean, because like Cthulhu Gloom has one expansion that's specific to it, which makes me think that there's something mechanically with it. Like, apparently you can't put the Cthulhu Gloom expansion as an expansion on this, even though the base game can be served as an expansion.
Interesting, yeah.
There's also Munchkin Gloom, Fairy Tale Gloom, and Gloom in Space.
Oh, okay. So, all the flavors.
Yeah, so all the flavors. I think Gloom in Space came out last year at Gen Con.
Oh, okay. Actually.
So it's the most recent.
I wonder, do any of those change up the mechanics, or is it changing the stories?
The expansions do change some of the cards. Like, one of the expansions that we have, because my wife and I have Gloom, and then we have Unquiet Dead and Unwelcome Guests.
Mm-hmm.
Unquiet Dead lets you make characters both alive and dead at the same time.
Huh. That's interesting. Let's go through the main mechanics.
Yeah. Which that will make sense in a second. So the main mechanics, whenever we play, we always like to, like, there is a major storytelling component involved, even though it's just a card game, but we always like to role play as it. So each player is representing an entire family, right? You have your family cards of the people that make up that family.
Yeah, and I believe in the original set, there's 4 families.
Right. There are 4 families. Some expansions will include it or increase it to 5.
Okay.
Could have up to 5 people playing.
I remember playing as the weird carny family, where there's a bunch of just random carnies.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Dark's Den of Deformity. There are the Blackwater Watch, Hemlock Hall, which are kind of the aristocratic, like, Victorian England type so-and-sos. And then there's Castle Slogar, which I like playing as because the patriarch of that family is a brain in a jar.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Frankenstein mad scientists.
That. Yeah.
Now, you're trying to make the characters in your family as miserable as possible.
Yes.
Before they die. Because when they die, you lock in their points. And the points are how you win. So, like, say, for instance, you have a card. The cards are all see-through.
Yeah, which is a really unique thing. Yeah. Not many games do see-through cards, so.
Yeah, so what would happen is you would take your character, and you would take this card, and you would say,
Stung by bees.
And it gives your character -10 happy points, right? Well, your opponents, you also have cards that can increase your happiness or decrease your gloom. So they could play a card that says, had a nice day in the park and got an ice cream.
Yeah.
And that gives you +30.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, now that character's losing and you don't want them to die, because at the end of the game, those points will work against you.
Yes. And it's interesting because the cards, the points on those cards are in particular spots.
Yeah.
So you can actually play cards that will cover up those points,
yeah.
which eliminates them. So if somebody ends up playing a positive point card on you, you could try covering that point up with another card, which is the aspects of the whole see-through cards.
Yeah, and so you've got to be really vigilant about, like, okay, so I want to make this person as miserable as possible before they die,
yeah.
so I can lock that in. Sometimes other players have interrupts and can sneak in a card.
Oh.
With expansions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I haven't played the expansions. I've only played the base set. And usually a turn involves you just playing a card, be it a card on your opponent or a card on you, and then you kind of pass the turn.
Yeah, yeah. Now, with the expansions that we have, at least, so Unquiet Dead, like I said, and Unwelcome Guests. Unquiet Dead lets your character be alive and dead at the same time. So,
yeah, which is interesting because, I mean, for your character to rack up the points, they're dead. How can you be alive and dead at the same time?
So you do this by
putting a cat in a box and asking it.
Putting the cat in the box. Well, no. So, like, it'll make you a wereduck or a bloodsucker.
Oh.
So
you're a monster.
Yeah, you're
an undead monster. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I gotta say, I love the art in all of these games. It's got this weird, like, Charles Adams, Edward Gorey style art. Let's see. Todd Remick is the artist credited. Now, Unwelcome Guests is interesting because it's basically Unwelcome Guests introduce characters that go from family to family during the game.
Okay.
And so it really throws off who gets points for what.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can pass this guy, like, Uncle Fred to somebody else or something like that.
Right, right. And this is the one that actually adds another player to the game. The rules for this are fairly simple. Like, each expansion comes with something that further in depth explains the rules, but they're succinct enough that they fit on the back of these boxes because that's where I'm reading them from.
Yeah, yeah, I will say that Gloom is not rules heavy. It's not crunchy. It's not really intense. That's where I feel like the storytelling aspect really plays a part in this game.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, it's so fun to go through and be like, oh, the Maleficent Slogar had a terrible day because she did X, Y, and Z, and then move on to the turn.
Like, I don't think you're playing this game to be like, making master plays where you're
have
things planned out 5 turns in advance and you're super happy to watch your plan go into action. You're more just telling a story with your friends. And that's where I find the biggest advantage that this game has.
Right.
Because its theme pretty much fits what you enjoy. Weird avant-garde and
weird
being horribly disfigured.
Well, no, like, I love the art for the cards. Like I said, it looks like Edward Gorey or Charles Adams or one of those that you know, had really creepy stuff around the turn of the century that no one really liked at the time.
Yeah. So it's good to see it on an actual card game.
Yeah.
But again, it's a card game that really rewards you for storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people I've seen play this game will throw down a card, won't even read what's on the card, just say, hey, this gives me minus 15 points, and moves on. And you're like, no, you gotta, like, give some sort of role-playing with it. You gotta read the card and actually tell me what's happening with your character. Why did he get stung by a bunch of bees, and that's making his life miserable. And you can kind of build this world with your friends, and that's where I feel like this game excels.
Yeah. So, like, you know, rather than going, oh, I got minus 25 happiness, your turn, I go, well, Samson O'Toole, the bearded man, was battered in the belfry. Batting a thousand bats. Attacked by bats. So, see, that guy was attacked by bats.
And you made a bat pun.
Yeah, and I made a bat pun.
He should really get, like, even more minus points because of the bad pun.
Yeah, exactly.
The bad pun.
So,
bad,
yeah, it really serves in your interest to... Because, you know, there are other games that do the see-through thing, like you were mm-hmm. talking about.
Yeah. So, when we decided to do this topic, I had remembered a game that I used to play. And for the longest time, I could not remember the name of it. But it is...
Hecatomb.
Which, of course, it would be a Wizards of the Coast game.
You love Wizards of the Coast.
I do. I love giving Wizards of the Coast money. But it was a game where... It was a collectible card game.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd buy packs and things along those lines. Has cards with six sides. And each of the sides are clear. Has mm-hmm. that clear card on it, except for one of the sides. And your object is to build a monster. And you're putting one ability on one side, then you play another card, and it's on the left side, mm-hmm. or the upper left side. And then you keep on building a monster until all the sides are filled. And each side, like I said, had text on it, so it would create a weird monster with strange stats, yeah. And then you would have these monsters fight each other.
Yeah.
It was an interesting game. It was really hard to play it competitively, because if you're thinking about it, you're holding a hand of six cards, but the cards are so unwieldy since they're
hexagons. I'm surprised that game got off the, like, out of the playtesting phase.
I know.
Because, like, that's bizarre that people were like, yeah, this is a good idea.
This sounds all right. Yeah, I'm going to take a quick look. So, it's discontinued, and it was released back in 2005. So, they were pretty much in their heyday of Magic. They probably had some extra cash that they wanted to try to focus on another card game. But I remember playing it. I remember it was fun, but it was just a very unwieldy game. Because, again, same kind of with Gloom. You're stacking cards upon cards.
Yeah.
If any of those cards shift or change or move, or, God forbid, your stack just falls apart,
yeah,
then you have no idea which cards went on first, which usually denounced yeah. which ability happened first.
Yeah, so it's not a great travel game.
It's not. Nor was it really, like, a great game to play outside or yeah. anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
So this game was, yeah, this Hex Tomb was a very unwieldy game. But I remember playing it for a couple of months, really, down at my local game store. And it was fun. Like, it had the hard mechanics that I do enjoy, but, again, just super unwieldy.
Was that at AGF?
That was at Atlanta Game Factory, yeah.
Yeah.
Another game that was interesting that I realized...
Mystic Veil.
Yeah, Mystic Veil. Mystic Veil also uses that same mechanic where it's see-through cards. And mm-hmm. this one, you're actually building a story, too. So you'll have, like, a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah, you're playing a, like a nature spirit?
Something.
And you're trying to make the most productive, or producing field during the seasons.
Yeah.
Which determine the turns.
Yeah, so spirits of nature hear the cry for aid. And they arrived, and they determined to use their blessings on particular land, but they have to be cautionate yeah. about what blessings they use on each particular land.
Right, because, like, in the winter phase, like, the field gets reset, and yeah. you start over again, and you start trying to accumulate different points. Mm-hmm. Like, the difference, though, I think, is that Of those three, well, I never played Hecatomb, but
you weren't missing much.
Well, it sounds like Hecatomb was like a PvP type game.
You played it one versus one.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. Like, I've done my share of Magic playing and Hearthstone, obviously, but I'm not a huge, like, sit down in person, play with a stranger type games.
And you gotta not play with strangers.
Yeah. Mystic Veil is fun.
It's in the same lines of Gloom where you're building a story.
Well, so Mystic Veil's a deck builder.
Yeah.
Which is different than Gloom. Gloom is more, I would call it like a stacking game almost.
Yeah. And Gloom came out first. Mystic Veil came out in 2016, so.
Yeah, it's more recent.
Yeah. So I'm happy to sort of see, like, people seeing Gloom and sort of innovating it, but I will say that I believe Gloom is kind of the grandfather of this mechanic.
Especially using that unique component. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I mean, this game would fall apart. Like, well, I guess you could do it with, like, holes punched into cards.
Yeah.
Like, you could do it with non-see-through components, but the components are what make the game, I guess.
Yeah. And it's that plus the storytelling.
Yeah.
So, with those particular Gloom games,
you're
really sitting down with some good friends, mm-hmm. telling a story, trying to make these guys miserable. Which is another interesting mechanic is you're not trying to get the most points, you're actually trying to have the least amount of points.
Yes.
Since everybody comes at a game where they're thinking bigger number, bigger wins, mm-hmm. and things along those lines. So it's a nice spin on a game.
Well, and the color scheme makes it really hard to be sneaky with some characters, like getting an unbelievably low Gloom point count. It's black, white, and red. So anything that increases your Gloom or gives you positive point or negative points, it's in red. So as you progressively lay cards down, that'll go away, and then it's easier to see, oh, this person actually has a lot of points. Yeah. That's what I need to be paying attention to. Let me give you some black points so that you get to raise your score and lose.
And it's also kind of cool that some cards do have abilities too. You can play a card on a person and it could have an effect.
Yeah.
Not just a point-wise effect, but an actual game effect. Where maybe you're drawing some cards or you're making the other person discard some cards.
Unquiet Dead, I think any card that has a duck on it, you have to draw a certain amount of cards.
Yeah.
It increases your hand size, and it's honestly kind of irritating at a certain point. Yeah. So many cards have ducks on them, so you could just be shifting through God knows how many cards in your hand. There is a hand limitation. I forget what it is. I think it's like 8.
But yeah, so it's not just, you're trying to make the smallest amount of points while trying to make the other person have the biggest amount of points. There's also some strategy on what cards you want to trigger, who you want to kill, things along those lines.
Yeah.
Because you could have a hand where you have no death in your hand. Because death is, the final... I'm sure... Is there a card that reverses death? Like, can you bring
not
up...
Not that I know of. Okay. Yeah.
So, death is final. Death locks that points in. It locks those points in. So, maybe you have a bunch of cards in your hand, but you have no death, so you can't actually lock any points in, so you're trying to, play cards that allow you to draw cards.
Yeah.
Or you're trying to play cards that allow you to look through your deck for something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's also interesting. It does have those mechanics in there. I definitely don't think it's a game for somebody who's looking for a heavy mechanic game.
Yeah, it would not appeal to... it wouldn't appeal to like a Euro style. gamer or someone interested in train games or anything like that.
Yeah, where you're putting out a lot of plans because your plans shift turn by turn. Yeah. Even if I'm playing against Zach and, you know, I have this thought that I'm going to do something, but he could play something that totally messes me up. So
yeah,
it's not a game that we're highlighting for its strategy. It's a game that we're highlighting for its storytelling.
Yeah.
Because it's really, like, the artwork is great on it.
Mm-hmm.
These family members, you can look at their particular portraits and you can know what they're about. Like you said with the Frankenstein folks, the
one of them's brain in a jar.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, all right, I get this.
Yeah, the aristocrats have two creepy children.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they play into, they lean heavily into the stereotypes from classic literature.
Yeah, which is fun because you get those winks and those nods.
Yeah.
And you can try to fit a certain life for a particular person.
Yeah.
Like maybe the brain guy, you're not going to put him out there in a long walk or something like that.
Oh, I have before. I just like to describe the butler like wheeling him out in a wheelchair. He's just a brain in a jar. Can't really sense anything.
It's a lovely day, sir. That's my butler. So yeah, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I
give it a thumbs up.
I give it a thumbs up.
Good.
Yeah. It's fun. If it's a fun, like, party game. I feel like if you want to sit down and play a game for, like, a good 3 hours,
this is... It'd be a small party game, though. Because it's only four... It's limited to four, five, maybe, people.
Yeah.
So that's a small party game.
I'm thinking of the game nights that we have where we split up into, like, multiple...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing that, that'd be good. Like, it's certainly not, like, a meta game or anything that can support, like, 50 people. Yeah.
that's chaotic.
It's smaller, but, yeah, like, it's rules light enough that you can just kind of go in and pick them up.
Yeah, like it's, and people can pick up the cards. People can realize what is happening and follow along. So I find it easy in that party aspect where you're not like sitting down explaining the rules for an hour before you can actually play.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some games that I'm just like, dude, I just want to have fun. Like I don't want to sit here and put things out for an hour before I get to play. Like Arkham Horror.
Yeah. Where there's so many different, like, decks and pieces and...
Dude, the setup time for Arkham Horror on the box, I think it's, like, 30 or 45 minutes. Like, that's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
God, that's... Yeah.
That's insane. Like, if you want to just immediately start playing... Well, not immediately start. It's not readily apparent, necessarily, but... you know, the rules are an instruction booklet that fit in the box. And the box is... What would you call that? 5 by 3 inches?
Sure.
Yeah. It's the size of an index card. Yeah. Like, it's not a very big booklet, and it's, yeah.
Now, the back of those cards, because you're all drawing from the same pile, correct?
Yes, yes. You are all drawing from the same pile. The only split cards are the family cards.
Mm-hmm.
The backs are just kind of nondescript.
Yeah, but you can sort of tell where the dots are going to be yet.
Yeah, yeah, you can definitely see where the dots are going to be. There are four possibilities where dots can be.
The left top, right bottom, left bottom.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not all the same. Like, this one that I just pulled was greeted by ghosts, and so it gives me negative 30 gloom split between two dots and a skull, which means that closes off the card and that character's dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. Mm-hmm. I thought there was like a big gravestone.
That, there is on some of them. That one's actually an expansion card.
Huh.
For the listener, I'm sure this is very riveting. I'm just digging through the cards right now.
You know, it's funny. You're like, I'm not going to take these decks. But
no, now it's nice of my wife to actually suggest bringing them in here.
Yeah. Very smart of her to have references.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case. But yeah, all in all, I think it's a decent game. Like I said, I do recommend it. But I wouldn't recommend it if somebody wanted to play a long game with interesting mechanics. Yeah. Not that this doesn't have interesting mechanics, but like complex mechanics.
Yeah. Something mechanics driven.
Yeah.
I will say one of the things that I wish Atlas Games would do, Atlas Games, Mr. Atlas, whoever you are, if you're listening to this, what Gloom needs is a storage box, a la Smash Up.
Oh, okay.
Because you see, I have like every expansion of Smash Up.
Yeah.
So I bought the big geeky box that's basically an empty box, but it's got dividers for all of the expansions.
How much did you spend on an empty box?
I think it was 20.
Man, I need to start selling some empty boxes.
Well, it came with dividers for the sets that didn't have them.
Yeah.
Like nice big like plastic ones that fit in there, and it came with expansions, further expansions. Like you got another couple of factions.
Yeah, I'm giving you grief because Magic also sells empty boxes.
Yeah.
And it's around like $15 to $20. And you just think to yourself, man, if only I got on that empty box business.
Yeah. Well, no, like, I just wish that Atlas would put out, and maybe they do, maybe I just need to check online, but I've never seen one before, are the, like, a storage box for all the expansions, because Gloom is fun enough that I wouldn't mind buying all the expansions. I just don't want these, like, individual boxes laying around. I just want one central box.
Yeah, it will look nice for display. You don't have to bring, like, five boxes if you're going to a party.
Yeah, I just bring one thing, I open it, and it's done. Like, there's a place for it, because they don't have that many expansions. They have four, I said. And the base. So it's not a whole lot of room, but it's kind of irritating if I had five of these.
Yeah.
So that's off-putting. That would be my only criticism of it, is that they need better storage.
Yeah. I don't know if I have any real big criticism of it. Maybe I didn't know that there were cards that you could play to interrupt things. That's new to me.
Yeah.
Because...
yeah, that's in the Unwelcome Guests one, because, like, that's the whole purpose of it, is that you have people intruding on your household.
Yeah, and which makes sense, I think, yeah. Because that would probably be one of my suggestions, is make some sort of variant on particular cards, where cards could be played anytime, or cards could only be played when your character is becoming happy, and you could have a card where... if Zach played the happiness card on my dude, I could have a card that immediately makes him unhappy or undoes the damage.
Yeah, like, and forgive me, it's not an interrupt played from someone's hand.
Mm-hmm.
The game itself plays it. So, like, the thing with unwelcome guests is that guests will follow certain card types noted on them, no matter it is. So a living guest immediately moves into the family of the character on which one of its trigger cards is played. All of its modifiers are moved with it, and it's considered a member of that family until it moves again. Persistent effects on guests and modifiers continue after the card with the effect is buried beneath another card.
Oh, wow.
So that card will follow, like, Docs, for instance.
Yeah, even if he's dead.
Yeah, like, it just moves around, and so their modifiers go with them.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, so
it does interrupt the flow of play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then my recommendation would be maybe making a card where you actually get to interrupt somebody's turn if something affects you, or if a particular card was played or something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being a way to change up the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, other than that, I think it's fun to play. Again, you're playing mainly for the story.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, anything else on Gloom?
That's it for me.
It's pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward.
A short episode.
I mean,
no,
you can talk about how you make your family miserable. You want to talk about that, Zach?
No, that's okay.
Why don't you call your mom enough? You don't call your mom enough.
I know, I need to call her.
Your brother sends you dank memes.
My brother does send me pretty dank memes.
You need to reply with better memes.
Oh, I do. I tell him he needs to get good. Scrobe!
But you have to do that in a meme. You just can't type it out in a text.
Yeah,
I know. You gotta find a meme that says, get good.
That's true. All right. Well, with that, I guess we'll be done for this time.
Yeah.
Now,
if you can... wanna... Oh.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to beat you. If you want to send us an email, you can always send us an email at backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
That's backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Like us on Facebook, Backrow Super Show, four separate words. Patreon.com/Backrow Super Show, and in Apple Podcasts as Backrow Super Show, four separate words.
Yeah, or just send us some dank memes.
Yeah, just email us dank memes. I hope for the hot memes.
I hope there's a meme that's just like dank meme. I believe next time we are going to be talking about Pathfinder.
Yes, Pathfinder, the role-playing game, not the boring novel from the 1800s.
Ooh, yeah. And I guess definitely strap in for that one.
Yeah, that one will be much longer.
Yeah. Or, I mean, we could just all be dead.
Maybe.
I mean, gloom,
yeah,
dead.
No, I get it.
You just left me hanging.
I get it.
You're just like, oh, okay, Stuart.
I guess
we could be dead.
I'm going to fade out. Right here. Bye, guys.
Right here.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Like you'll never.